Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, or welcome to Hour 2 if you are just joining us. It is the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 60 of the program. Today, we are honoring and recognizing all-time great number 60s. Gene Mikulski, of course, the first name that comes up. But Abi Khan will be joining us. Ibrahim Khan, number 60, bomber great, offensive lineman. He was already scheduled in to join us today, but now we've got huge breaking news this morning. And it is. It's news that has kind of rocked the CFL, particularly Winnipeg. The league's leading rusher, Andrew Harris, has been suspended this morning by the CFL for two games for a positive steroid test. He's released a statement. The Bombers have released statements from the president, Wade Miller, and the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Andrew denying responsibility, really, saying he feels this is a case of cross-contamination, but he will sit the two games, and you cannot appeal steroid suspensions, I'm told. So we're also recapping Touchdown Atlantic. I was there for 4 days and loved every moment of it in Moncton. Thank you, Atlantic Canada. Saskatchewan Rattlers winning the CEBL Championship yesterday on home court. We've been talking about that. So lots of items up for bid today to talk about. Our daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is simply, does the positive steroid test taint the legacy of Andrew Harris? He's got the most yardage of any Canadian who's ever played in the CFL. Passed that 10 days ago. Now he's suspended for two for steroids. The vote right now, literally right around 50-50.
Hang on a sec. They caught him for steroids. The game that he got, the day that he set the record, after that game, he went in and peed in a cup. And
nailed him. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Oh, man.
Right. Well, we welcome to the program.
A little too
BC ironic. Lions great, Riders great, Jason Claremont, number 82. JC, welcome to the bunker.
Well, thanks for having me.
Great to have you in here. You're a busy guy, so I appreciate you finding some time. First of all, I just want to start with the Andrew Harris news. Mm-hmm. Did you know it before you came in here today?
I did. I saw it on social media. Yeah.
And what's your take on it? What's your thoughts?
Tough for Andrew. I mean, he says that he didn't do anything that he thought was illegal, and he claims that he's had other tests in the past that were clean. And so, you know, I'd like to believe that that was the case for him. And I mean, I'm surprised there hasn't been a controversy about a Rider fan in the testing lab who conveniently found the
just before
the substance. Yeah, just before
for the timing of it.
Yeah, I mean, right before the Labor Day and the Boundary Bowl. Like, but no, I'd like to see how it all plays out, and I'd give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidence. So yeah, that good. It is. Yes.
Okay. I figured you'd have something sharp and witty to say, Abu. But you're right, Jason. I mean, look at the Bombers. They win without Matt Nichols Friday night. What was the final in Edmonton? 34-28. I didn't get to watch the game. But now with a back-to-back against the Riders, and you've played in these, you know how big it is for both teams, obviously. The timing is suspect. What does this do to the Bombers moving forward for the next two, do you think?
Well, I think with them having Strebler at the helm now and kind of relying on that game management running game between him and Harris, it kind of puts a dent in that plan a little bit, and they're going to have to hit the air a little bit more.
Were you able to watch much of the game Friday with Strebler?
I watched most of it, yeah.
What was your take on the game plan that Paul LaPolice put together?
It was great. I know that people are criticizing the fact that Strebler passed for, what, 7 yards or something? Right?
I think it was 50-something.
Yeah, but he didn't need to, right? Like, were they ever behind? I don't think they were ever behind. And it was good game management. They were able to eat the clock, you know, by running the ball. And he's a heck of a ball runner. And, you know, if they needed to take to the air, it would have been a different game. They'd have had a different plan.
Well, I mentioned to you that coach called me this morning from the States, and he just said, 41% completion percentage for Strebler, efficiency rating of 58.1, and they win the game.
Lapo made his money. That's what, in offseason, everyone was like, why is everyone making a big deal about Lapo? That's him. And it's hard. I wouldn't say there's 9 offensive coordinators or coaches in the league that can stick to a game plan for 60 minutes, that don't get caught up in the, oh my gosh, he only has 7 yards passing. We better get him some more passes, or else his feelings are going to be hurt. No, he had. I thought he had 80 yards passing, but whatever. I want to see what Lapo does this week, because if he does, then just have a blank check in the offseason ready, and Lapo can put whatever number he wants on it. Because if he can win this game without someone that can throw the ball, or without someone that can run the ball, we know he's good. He's going to be damn near amazing if he can pull it off.
Tom watching from Winnipeg, he says 89 yards specifically is what it was for Chris. I know he rushed for more than he threw.
85.
Which is not common, but they won the football game. And with Jason Claremont with us, obviously you're following the Riders. You're alum and you live in this town. How could you not? Five wins in a row. I did not see it coming. Did you, going into this season? Where they stand right now at 6-3?
Well, I mean, I think people were a little bit apprehensive as to what the offense would do with Zach Collaros. I mean, not a whole lot of people were excited that he was going to be the starting quarterback, I don't think. And then it was a blessing in disguise that Cody Fajardo was able to progress the way he has. I think that the biggest surprise for me with the quarterback is his confidence immediately. He immediately had confidence and a comfort level. And he's been able to carry that through, and the defense is doing a great job. I mean, you serve up 3 cookies right in the first quarter like that, right? You know, on the bad side of the 50-yard line, and it's, you can build some momentum and get the crowd into it.
I never felt that when Collaros was here, everyone was talking about McAdoo.
Yeah,
you know,
blaming him.
Well, right, you got to have the right players running the right offense. I think Fajardo fits the offense a lot better. Yeah, I said Fajardo, according to McCullough. So it's Fajardo.
You're still saying Fajardo?
Well, how about after this we go for some fajitas? No, it's Fajardo. I'm going to say it right. Meshrek, too, by the way. Fajardo fits the offense better. Short, dump pass, throw to the open guy, let the receiver make the plays. Whereas Collaros was more like, all right, run, go 18, go Carter, go whoever, and I'm going to throw it as far as I can, and you're going to run under it and catch it.
Well, let's come back to your Paul LaPolice comment about how, you know, you got an offense coordinator who can stick to the game plan. Mm-hmm. And you just said that Fajardo fits the offense. Lapo's that OC that he doesn't build an offense and then find players and plug them in. He finds what players he has, and then he builds the offense around them. So, like, you see the game plan with Strebler, and I think that, you know, I don't know that Fajardo fits the offense better, but I think that he has better chemistry with the pieces.
Well, and the thing, you talk about Zach Collaros, I'm sitting behind the Argos bench yesterday. He's charting every play in a t-shirt and sweats. I don't think Zach Collaros ever plays again. But I do think he'll seamlessly go into coaching, and that's where he belongs. And it's unfortunately a career that was plagued by injury.
And not our problem anymore, is what you want to say, but you don't want to sound like a jerk. But that's what it sounded like to me. He's on the Argo sideline doing stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fans never really gravitated to him here. Yeah. You never know who they're going to gravitate to or they're not. It didn't work. He did win 10 games. Let's not forget that he won 10 games. Jason, clearly he's a great quarterback, but you know, concussions, you don't screw around with those.
No, and I've played with lots of great quarterbacks. Buck Pierce was in the same situation. Dave Dickinson was in the same situation. And once it gets to that point, you need to self-evaluate and see, you know, is this the best thing for me? Like Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will get around to that, by the way. But, you know, you talk about concussions and Dave Dickinson and Buck Pierce, and you played with all those guys. You did play with Damon Allen, and I want to get to those stories in a moment, but as we look at week 11, the BC Lions the other night, 13-10, they fall at home to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I think, well, I do believe you're going into the Hall of Fame, and if it was Coopertown and you have to wear a hat, it would be a Lions hat. You know, that's where your great years were. Is it hurt you to see what's going on out there?
Yeah,
How much are you examining it?
Well, I'm not. I don't really pay that much attention to it, but I did talk to G-Roy yesterday, you know, congratulate him for going on the Wall of Fame. It was kind of just a little asterisk. He's already in the Hall of Fame, and he's already on the Ring of Honor. And
right. So they're just kind of redundant.
Yeah. They're just like, you're going to walk by the Wall of Fame and G-Roy's not on there. Let's get him up there. So that was kind of, you know, a thing that they did for him, which was nice. But I just said, like, what is going on? What is going on with our Lions? 1-9. Like, we started my rookie year. We were 1-5. Cleaned house. Like, guys lost their jobs on offense. Guys, the head coach lost his job. Adam Rita took over as interim coach. That's how I got my job. Right. We were 1-5. We needed changes. Now I became a starting slot back. Right. Changes need to happen. They needed to happen 5 weeks ago. Right. And if those guys aren't making huge wholesale changes in their systems and their personnel, well, guess who's going to get changed? The guys who are supposed to make those decisions. So I'm surprised it hasn't happened.
But isn't this a result of the changes? Because who are they going to fire now? You know, the first, like, I don't know if Marcus Howell is still the coach, and maybe I'm picking on. They're going to fire. That's not a splash to hire, you know, a first year coach. Like, there is no, you know, you got a first year GM, first year head coach, you got a first year everyone. I feel like this is the result of the.
BC has a first year GM.
Like, well, I'm sorry. For fairly new, can we say that?
Okay.
What change can they make to make a big splash? Because we were talking about this the other day. They're not going to get rid of their DC. That's really the only.
Rich Stubler.
Stoops, yeah. That's really the only one with any.
Well, I think they're totally handcuffed by the coach's salary cap, by the way. And. I've gotten to know the Wally finally, Jason, since he's retired, that you knew all along. Yeah. And he's a different guy, right, when he's not in front of cameras and stuff. And with the coach's salary cap and the staff restriction, they're all handcuffed. They can't fire anybody.
Right.
Right. So I asked Wally, how do you feel about this cap? He goes, I'm glad I don't have to deal with it. Right, that was his first thing. But secondly, after spending considerable time around the commissioner on the weekend at Touchdown Atlantic. Here's the thing with Randy, and you, I think you heard what I said. When you're around him, he just exudes positivity and stuff. His first job was saving the league. He didn't take over a Mercedes here or a Swiss watch. He had to cut costs, cost certainty, and now he's looking towards growing the league. I don't think he likes the fact that they've had to restrict coaching staffs and caps either. Why would you like that? But he had to put it in because teams were out of control and had to be saved from themselves. This was one of them, you know, with the money that Chris Jones was spending. So anyways, it's kind of handcuffed these teams with firing anybody. And I guess that's the point, Jason, is that if you're a Lions fan, which I assume you are, the road out is very murky right now. Like, how are you getting out of this? Because you're really, I don't think Mike Riley's going to tear up his contract in the offseason, do you?
Nope.
I wouldn't if I was him. So that's the very tough part of it. Is
I think they're on the road. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't know where's the exit. Where's the let's fire this GM? Let's fire that. I don't know where that. It's. I don't think it's. I think they're on the road, and they just gotta, you know, go over the bumps and crack a axis and flat tire and just hobble their way to the finish line because
it's tough because it's not even Labor Day yet.
Right. What can they do? Go and get all those receivers and offensive linemen that are sitting on the couch right now. Like, it's not.
But that's a fragile market. Like, you're going to start competing here with the Canucks right away for entertainment dollars, and like, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's already not good. What I hear is they know the Lions are there. The fans. They're just not going to come if you're not winning. Jason, you played in those games, and there was 55,000 in BC plays. I remember walking out of there, all those great games against the Riders, and I'm thinking, if this is what the NFL's like, sign me up. Because I'd never been to an NFL game, and it would be hard for anybody to believe that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, it took us 2 to 3 years to lose 9 games, though. Like, they're 1-9.
Yeah, you were good. Like, yeah.
We were good. We were a good product, and so people came to watch, and it was exciting. And we, you know, we'd have big games. Saskatchewan would come into town, and we'd have big games, and you know, they lack that right now. So I don't know what they can do, but something needs to be done.
I just sometimes, from a league perspective, and I see things so differently now in my new role, you kind of sit there and wonder, why aren't people coming? Do they know that we're playing? And then now I see it. They know that you're playing. You haven't given them a reason to come.
Exactly.
That's what it is. But you don't know it when you're in the forest until you step out of the forest. Which, by the way, before we break, I was with Damon Allen. You wrote into my Instagram story about driftwood. What a guy. And what a job, by the way. He just gets paid by the CFL to be Damon Allum. So he comes out to Moncton and runs these kids' camps and stuff, and he talks, and you know how sharp he is. He can just speak at the drop of a dime. But he did go deep into the 2004 Grey Cup, and the story for you guys was who starts, Casey Prenders or Dave Dickinson. I don't think Damon was going to allow them to lose that day because of the chip on his shoulder in Ottawa.
Yeah, he had a great game, managed that game really well. They had a receiver, Baker, who had a big game against us. And Abu had talked earlier about a GM sticking to a game plan, and we had a game plan. We had a game plan of running the football, and I feel like we had 186 yards or something in the first half with our running back. And, you know, you just get offensive coordinators and quarterbacks, they just get a little bit itch and just like, let's try to throw a little bit. Took away from our game plan and let them back into the game. And
so yeah, fun. Your rookie year was 03, right?
02.
It was 02. Yeah. So just refresh my memory. You played with Damon for one whole year?
Yeah.
So, Abu, this is what's funny. So Damon is going into the next season, I guess, thinking he's going to be your quarterback, and they brought Dave Dickinson into town. And Adam told Damon, he's telling us at the reception Saturday night, they said, don't worry, Damon, we're just going to show Dave Dickinson around. We're just going to show him around Vancouver. And Damon's like, he doesn't know BC? He's never been here before? That was his thing. Next thing you know, Dave signs and Damon's on the next thing smoking.
Right.
Right? And I guess he finished his time out in Toronto. I mean, everything does happen for a reason, right? I guess it worked out well for everybody. Mind you, not winning that Grey Cup, you don't ever get those back.
No, you don't get them back. Nope.
No. Well, taking time out, Jason Claremont's with us today. Mike Abometric on the way. Abhi Khan talking about the big news in the CFL today, a 2-game suspension for Andrew Harris for a positive steroid test. Comments are coming in, and we'll get to those next on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777, 306-840-8777. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay.
Eligible Costco members receive preferred pricing on select vehicles and a $500 Costco cash card. Get Costco pricing on this new 2019 GMC Sierra 4x4. It's just $39,645 plus tax or just $256 bi-weekly. Or get Costco pricing on this new 2019 Buick Encore. It's only $27,098 plus tax. That's just $93 a week.
You pay what we pay!
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Rod Peterson Show continues on a Monday morning, August 26th, episode number 60 of the program. Recognizing number 60s. So far, Gene Mikowski, Jose Theodore, Ron Cherkis, and Abhi Khan. It's a star-studded group, but not a big group. Number 60. Sports update. Jin Young Ko of South Korea showed yesterday why she's the top-ranked player on the LPGA. She closed with an 8-under 64 to win the CP Women's Open at Magna Golf Club in Aurora, Ontario by 5 shots. Canada's Brooke Henderson finished 7 shots off the lead in a tie for third. Rory McIlroy captured the biggest cash payout in golf history yesterday by surging past Brooks Koepka in the final round at East Lake in Atlanta to win the FedEx Cup and its $15 million U.S. prize. And baseball, the Blue Jays start the week with a day off after a long trip up the West Coast. Toronto went a combined 1-6 against the Dodgers in L.A. and Mariners in Seattle. Josh Donaldson and the Atlanta Braves come into Toronto tomorrow, his first return since earning the nickname the Bringer of Rain. And big news in the CFL today, 2-game suspension for Andrew Harris, the CFL's leading rusher, for a positive steroid test. We're asking on both our web poll and Twitter poll, does this taint his legacy? 50-50 so far are the respondents. Jason Claremont with us. He brought up earlier Andrew Luck, and I'm glad you did, because I have it written down that I want to talk about him. He announced after the game, Saturday night preseason game, he's retiring from the National Football League at the age of 29. I don't know how closely, JC or Abu, that you've looked into this. I just looked up some numbers this morning. He's made $100 million in his career. He was due a $6 million bonus in 3 weeks' time. He's saying he's not having fun anymore. Injuries have taken the fun out of the game, and he's walking away. I didn't see the news conference. Did you?
No, I didn't watch it.
Apparently, he was very tearful. It's not easy on the guy, obviously. But nothing surprises me in football anymore either. I mean, what's your take on this latest news with Andrew Luck?
Well, nothing.
Either of you.
Nothing surprises me in life anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, people are making announcements about their life choices all the time, and if that's the decision that's best for him, then move on. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I respect it.
Yeah. I'm on both sides of the fence because, you know, if he's breaking this news to his teammates now, he probably wanted to do it 2 years ago, and he's lived with this demon for, I don't know, 2 years, however long. But you don't just walk out on your family, on your teammates like that without severe. I don't even know what it is. Feelings,
right?
Because it sucks for he's let, you know, 80 guys down. You know, they think they're gonna make a run to the playoffs, and now they're gonna be the worst team in the league. He knows all this stuff, and you know, the guys on the team know that he knows that was part of the factor. So I don't think that they feel like they're mad, not mad at him, but they just worked hard all offseason for a shot at the first pick overall in the draft. And that's not where, you know, 80 guys' visions were, coaches and all that other stuff. But I feel for the guy. He's going to have a good life, but it just speaks to that 5G, because Indianapolis was the first city with that 5G BS that sucks all the life out of everybody. But
InfoWars.com. Sorry, you lost me. What are you talking
5G,
about?
That new Wi-Fi thing. You know, we have 3G, 4G. There's 5G.
You think he retired because he was afraid of...
No, that's a whole
dangerous
other
Wi-Fi
thing.
In the
look,
city?
Look into it later.
Okay, completely lost me on that. Well, Casey writing it on Facebook this morning, he says, Luck getting booed off the field, that is the most classy thing ever. Not. Well, yeah, Adam Schefter broke the news during the game. So all the fans are realizing it during the game, and then Luck walks off and gets booed. But here's the thing, Jason, and you've always looked at life appropriately, but different than everybody else, I feel. And you get it, but a lot of people don't. I didn't get it for the longest time. Andrew Luck doesn't owe anybody anything. He owes what's best for himself and his family, and that's all. He's been paid his $100 million. What if he'd waited 3 weeks and then announced his retirement and got a $6 million bonus?
People that are mad at him don't have the ability for empathy, and they shouldn't even be considered. People think that he's mad. It's ridiculous. Are ridiculous. There's no space for being mad at this person.
Right.
But they are, and I'm not saying it's right.
Well, who cares?
You see what I'm saying here? Andrew doesn't owe anybody anything.
Man, there's people that burn crosses.
You need to do what's best for you always.
Always.
Period.
Period.
It was noble and brave of him to retire.
Yes.
He could have taken the easy road. He could have come up with a phantom back injury, right, that they couldn't figure out what's going on with his back, and he's IR'd the entire season, and he's, you know, stealing checks, and he didn't do that. He said, you know what, this isn't for me. I've decided that. I didn't, you know, I've had a rough go the last little while with my injuries and the rehab, and I'm not doing it again.
And it's not fun anymore.
Right.
It was fun before. I mean, I honestly look at a guy like Ben Heenan, who I know listens to the show every day. Benny came back from Indianapolis. He was going to play for the Riders, or he had that opportunity. Didn't want to. Wanted to go farming. And my point is, I've changed. My mindset's changed. I was hounding Ben to hold a news conference to announce his retirement. He didn't want to do it. I was actually going through his agent, Dan Vertlieb, and I didn't realize at the time Ben didn't owe me anything or Ryder fans anything. I now get it, Jason, but at the time I didn't.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And Ben's happy, never held his news conference, and he's out farming, probably in the field today listening, and he's happier than a clam. But he did what was right for him.
Yeah, that's anyone who's listening. I mean, give yourself the same. You have $100 million. You don't have to go to work. Are you going to work?
Well, you would lose the drive a little bit,
too. Well, I love football, but that's not right. He loves farming. He loves, you know.
Well, and by the way, Jason, I mean, it would be great if you ever wanted to give instructional classes to players about life after football or expanding their skill set beyond the game. Because when did you start your real estate business and get your license and everything?
When I had a bad injury. And I realized I needed to do something to move on. I actually went back to school and got my degree that year too, and took my real estate license in 06 when we won the Grey Cup actually that year. But I tore my knee at the start of the year, and that was a wake up call. And I can't go back and talk to these guys because I was one of those guys. And you're in that room. You don't listen to these old guys. Like, they come in and tell you.
Never
going to
get
some.
I still don't. I'm never going to.
Football's never
old.
Ending. Like, it's never going to end. I remember my rookie year, a veteran. You know, I think it was Jamie Terrace. Stood up and said, you know, guys, enjoy this time because before you know it, you're going to be standing in my shoes. And then before you know it, you're going to be an alumni. And it seems like yesterday, but it goes by quick.
So growing up, your dream was to play football, obviously. But at what point did you realize maybe I'd like to sell houses? Was that when your knee tore that you actually started to examine it?
Well, I had bought and sold some property in BC with an agent out there and was very interested in it and took a liking to it and just explored it.
You just nailed it, though. Until you live it,
yep,
you would have no idea.
Well, and that's like you tell people things, but I coach youth hockey and football, and you can tell them 100 times a situation and how it's going to play out. They need to go out and make the mistake, right? They need to feel that mistake, and then they'll know. Then they'll learn. Experience. There's nothing better than experience. So, you know, if guys are coming out of football and they need to fall on their face to realize that they need to do something different, then that's the lesson they need.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of your teammates come out of football and have no idea. Actually, the vast majority is.
But did they have an idea before they entered football either? Like, really?
No.
Right? So the football was just, they just happened to be very good at football. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And how would you explain your success in the real estate? Because it's exploded, right? Almost from from when you started it.
I would say success in anything is just due to having a plan and working your plan. Like, Mike's had a great career here as an investment consultant and he built his own business. And I think it helps me because I wasn't blessed with a lot of speed. I don't think I was blessed with a lot of talent. And everything that I did came with planning and hard work and figuring out how to take things to the next step. And I take that into my business life.
And I'll know what you're good at and what you're not good at, and then surround yourself with people that aren't good at the same things that you are.
Yeah, for sure.
Build the right. I know team. You have a lot of help. I've had a lot of help, and without help, you need someone to throw you the ball.
You do.
All you got to do is catch it. Seems easy. But if it's not there, you can't catch it.
Well, and Mike Riley's finding out you can't take the entire salary cap at your own position because then you don't leave much up front to...
It's funny how real estate business is kind of just like football, sort of.
Well, the one thing is, and this is purely, what should I say? Not talking about BC, of course, but I asked Abu this earlier about, would there be tension in the locker room, not even necessarily a CFL locker room, any guy that's making all the money with certain players, would there be some jealousy there or you're not a team guy? I think the way Abu answered it was every guy would look at it different. Some mm-hmm. might have a problem. Some wouldn't. Would you agree with that? If a guy was making so much money, because I don't think anybody in your time made that amount of whopping cash more than his teammates.
See, we had, when I played in BC, we were under the same salary cap as everybody else, but we didn't carry the roster size. Like, when I came to Saskatchewan and there were like 80 to 90 locker spots, I was like, how do you fill all these locker spots? Like, but we had a core group of guys that each guy was paid pretty well, but it's a tough market. Like, your rent in Vancouver was a heck of a lot more than it was in Saskatchewan at that time, right? So cost of living was a lot higher. So guys did get paid more comparative to the rest of the league, but within the locker room, there was no huge discrepancy. We did have one of the top quarterbacks, but I think he consciously made an effort to not inflate his own salary so he could get guys like Jason Jimenez and Rob Murphy and make sure he had some good protection.
I remember that being in the news at the time.
Yeah.
That you're talking about Dave, right?
Yeah.
And he was taking less money.
Yeah, so he could sign a tackle.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
It is the
that blind side.
It's the Tom Brady mentality.
And if guys want to be mad at how much someone makes or how much they don't make, they're going to be mad at their agent. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at my agent for...
Which reminds me, I want to talk about that when we come back. There were agents at the game yesterday in Moncton, and they were talking about when are the Riders going to re-sign or extend Cody Fajardo and that kind of thing. So we'll talk about some of the league issues when we come back. Jason Claremont with us and Mike Abomeshrick on a Monday morning of the Rod Peterson Show. And more of the Andrew Harris talk, because a lot of people want to comment on that. The CFL's leading rusher suspended this morning for a positive steroid test. He's going to sit for two, and they just happen to be against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Monday morning. Jason Claremont, Mike Abomeshrick in the bunker with me here for episode number 60 of the program. What's wrong with you? Did you choke on your
choking
coffee?
Choking on a muffin.
Muffin, you trying to eat?
That's a carrot.
That'll teach you to eat healthy.
Vegetables.
Mike Abel-Meshrick, Jason Claremont in the bunker here. The big news this morning in the CFL. Andrew Harris of the Bombers suspended 2 games for a positive steroid test. Anonymous texter writing in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, no long-term effect of creatine usage. This guy doesn't want to be identified, Abu, but he sounds like somebody that would know. He's probably a friend
long-term
of yours.
It's been in use for 20 years, so...
Ask somebody.
Tell me when you have a long-term sample.
You can be okay.
Do you need to leave?
No, man. My throat hurts. It's a cat.
He says there are tons of studies regarding this supplement. It's not the same category as steroids. I personally don't have a problem with topping up levels in the case of Harris. He got caught, but that doesn't remove the work he put in. And he put in the work. So that's from anonymous texter from the 737 regarding Andrew Harris. And I'm interested to know what they're saying in Winnipeg. You can put on your headphones, guys. It's right under your arm, JC, on your left elbow there. We have Abhi Khan, legendary number 60 from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I bring that up, Abhi, because it's episode number 60 of the program here today. How's this news going over in Winnipeg with Andrew Harris, the leading rusher?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Mike, you look old.
You look skinny.
I am skinny.
You should get some of that D-ball maybe. And anyways, Love you, man.
The news is shock. I've talked to a couple people this morning. People are just finding out about it. People still don't really know what's going on. People are shocked, surprised. That being said, Andrew Harris is a legend around here. People are kind of, I think, okay with it. People are more upset that he got caught during Banjo Bowl and Labor Day weekend now, I think, than they are with the fact that he was on the steroids. But again, I've only talked about a handful of people. People are surprised. People are shocked. And people are, you know, the take is almost like it's part of the game. People are saying, you know what, he got caught. How many other guys are on steroids? How many other guys are doing it? He did what he had to do to play. And he put in the hard work, like that last texter said. He put in a lot of hard work to get to this. Steroids don't all of a sudden make you a good football player. You can't take them and then all of a sudden wake up being an all-star or have a rushing record. The guy's put in the work, and for whatever situation, circumstances led him to try these drugs, he got caught.
And that's, by the way, we got a poll going. Does this taint his legacy? It's about 50-50. I say no, Abhi. But I'll ask you this. What is it do to the Bombers and their offense moving forward for the next 2 games?
Well, I think that's a real big hit right now. With Nichols being out, with Harris being out now, we got the big games back to back here against you guys. It could have a real negative effect this season. I'm sure internally they're going to brush it off and say, you know what, we got the next guy ready to go. We'll be okay. One guy does not make the team. And I agree with that, but you've lost your quarterback and now you've lost your all-star running back. It's not good timing. I don't think it's ever good timing to get caught for this stuff. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I guess it'll be a big test.
Hey, Abhi, do you think there's a silver liner with the two biggest stars out? Kind of the Bombers are off. They got a pretty good head start and they're two biggest stars get a nice little rest in the middle of the season, and then when the games start really counting, they're back. How do you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. They positioned themselves fantastic for going into the stretch here. And if these guys got to miss a couple games, then now is a good time to do it. So you're right. There is a silver lining. Let them rest up. Let them get back in there. Make a big push in the end of the season. And I think, as you said, everything will be forgotten. I don't think it'll taint his legacy. He is a great player. He's a great community guy. He's done a lot for this club. He's done a lot for the CFL. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think fans here in Winnipeg are going to be optimistic about it and say, "Wow, it's just Saskatchewan. It's the middle of the season. We're 7-2. It'll be all right. Whatever happens."
All right, and how we saw what Lapo did last week with the two running back system. One of them took a pass and threw a took the snap and threw a couple passes, but most of the time he turned around and handed it off to Harris. What's the game plan now? You don't have Nichols in the game. You don't have Harris. What do you do?
No idea. I mean, you guys would know better than I do. I mean, what do you do? I don't know. I mean, you see.
Visit Shawarma Khan. That's what you do.
Yeah, come by. I mean, the silver lining for me is that there'll still be 30,000 fans in the stadium, and I do have three restaurants at the stadium, so I think personally, the club-wise, I think it is actually real good. I mean, you listen, we've all played in the league a long time. How many times have we had it where you've had your star player go out, you put a backup in there, and they haven't had a lot of reps, they have a lot of experience, and they completely soil themselves, right, and send the team in a downward spiral. So right in the middle of the season, I think it's a good time for this to happen. Optimistically, I think it's fine. Lapo will adjust. The team will adjust. They didn't get caught the day before the game. They got a whole week of planning to go into this. So I think they'll be okay. And the offensive line is still there. The holes will still be there. You just hope that the next guy they got up will be ready to roll.
Abhi, we talk about the offense a lot, but on the defense, your thoughts on this? They gave up 400-plus the other night, which we all know Richie's defense. I think we all agree. Richie doesn't have a problem with the yards. It's when they get into the red zone, they're not getting in. And I've never had a problem with that. He hates the term bend but no break, don't break. I think that's what it is.
100% that's what it is.
Yeah, go ahead. What do the Bomber fans think about Richie's defense?
Well, that's how it's been here for the last, he's been here for 4 or 5 years now, and it's always been a bend, don't break. He might not like it, but the reality is that's how it is. They give up a ton of yards, and we don't get a ton of yards. Lapo, Mike, you remember playing with Lapo. I think you played with him, didn't you, for a couple years, Mike?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he's a ball control guy. He wants to control the ball. He wants to down. He wants to eat up the clock. He wants to have low turnovers, if any. He wants to win the turnover battle more than he wants to win the yard battle. So that's fine. And it's been working for us this year. And it's worked for us for the last couple years. We just haven't had the ability to get over that hump right now. You hope with the start they've had, you hope with Nichols coming back, Harris getting a couple games off, they can get over that hump. Bend don't break offenses work great. As long as they don't break and give up a ton of points, and they haven't done that this year. So be it as it is, you know, they'll give up some yards against you green guys, and the fans will go wild, and then they'll shut them down in the red zone, and we'll just see how their offense does.
Last one, Abhi, before we let you go. Anthony has written in on the Facebook feed, wants to know, have you tried the Walby Burger?
Why would I try the Walby Burger when we have the Wrath of Khan at the stadium?
Yes.
I mean, enough said. I don't know.
Good answer.
Who do you want to look like, Walby or this fine specimen right here? Or that fine specimen? Right. They're both really fine specimens, actually.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you guys are coming down for Banjo Bowl?
I don't know. Yet to be determined.
What do you mean? I got some tickets for you, and I got a couple Wrath of Khans ready for you. So come on down. And
sounds like it's settled.
Sounds like we're going.
All right. All right, Abhi. I appreciate it.
Wrath of Khan or Walby Burger? I'll let you guys decide.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm all over the Shawarma Khan. Yeah. Don't worry. I don't even want a Walby Burger.
When's it coming to
Don't worry
Regina?
About it. we've already asked him that last. Did you hear him? When are you bringing your first restaurant to Regina?
As soon as Mike partners up with me, or I get another rider out there to partner up
Call
with
me.
Let's do it.
Actually,
Call me.
I think it would be a hit. Abhi, thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate it, man. We'll chat with you after this back-to-back set.
Thanks, Call guys. Me. Always love being on.
All right, Abhi Khan joining us from Winnipeg, appropriately on episode number 60. Just before we let Jason Clermont go and Abu, everybody's writing me this morning saying I got to ask you about the Maxtron the other night.
Oh.
Apparently, because again, I missed the game. Yeah. Your son was flashed. Everybody was flashed. What happened? What's the story?
My son missed it. Actually, he's very disappointed that he missed it. But my
daughter, Jackson?
Yeah, my boy Jackson. Well, I bet you he doesn't take his eyes off that Jumbotron now, though. My daughter, Jordan, wanted to get herself on the big screen. So we were watching it quite a bit. And she was holding up her signs and yelling, "Go Riders," and doing the wave and all those types of things. And one young lady decided that she wanted to put on a bit of a show. And
how big of a show was it?
It wasn't a huge show, no.
Well, I saw your tweet, and that was the only reason I knew. It was about, is this person going to be kicked out forever?
Well, because the boys were arguing. They're like, you know, she's going to go to jail for 5 years, and she's going to be banned from the stadium for life. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to happen, guys. I feel like she's going to get a couple high fives, and somebody's going to walk her
free
out.
Free tickets.
And for some, and for those that didn't see it, could you rate it like an A, B, C, D? Like, could you just rate it? Like, you know.
A boo. You try walking him down the garden.
I'm sure you could go to the rider staff and see if they have their in-house footage still. And just if you need to conduct an investigation,
I just ask him. It's a talk show. We talk.
You're just
about
being
things.
A boo. Yeah. All right, Jason. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. We got a couple of gift certificates here for Ballers for you. And
we love Ballers.
We'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, Jason Clermont with us. It's the Rod Peterson Show. We got to take a timeout. More of your comments and questions coming up. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catching the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back.
You get to pay what I pay and the whole entire pre-owned inventory.
Plus, we're Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned store, right here in Regina.
This pre-owned 2018 Ford Escape SEL with leather, sunroof, and navigation is only $29.95 plus tax. Or check out this 2011 Jetta Highline Diesel. Its employee price, just $11,999 plus tax.
You pay what we pay!
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, for the overtime segment. It's just Dupes and me. Everybody's left except for Connor, the intern.
We're all my friends
soaking it all in. Well, Paul took Claremont and Abu downstairs. What are they doing down there?
Secret stuff
down on the lower levels of the building.
You know what? It's exciting, actually. New technology they're exploring in the R&D department downstairs.
Okay, good.
I'll tell you about it after the show. We'll tell the fans about it maybe in a week or two.
We'll just keep talking here because that's what we do, yakking it up on the old yak box. I'm going back and forth here. The biggest news in the CFL, and I am not overstating it by saying it has rocked the CFL. Oh. Andrew Harris has been suspended for 2 games following a positive drug test. The CFL announced it this morning that the drug is methandione. I've never heard of it. I'm proud to say that I don't know these things. I'm not up on my banned substances. But in a statement, Harris said he was tested March 1st, July 2nd, and again July 12th. It was after the third test that Harris added he was notified of the positive result. He's a three-time All-Star, league's top Canadian in 2017. Said he never knowingly took a banned substance. And in his statement, he says, throughout my years playing here in Winnipeg, I have been drug tested more than any other player on our team to the point that it's become a running joke within our locker room. The timeline makes it very clear. I was not using a banned substance for performance-enhancing purposes, nor was I aware that I was taking any supplements with any banned substances in them. Based on the fact pattern, this is clearly a case of product contamination. To our Twitter poll, Samuel S. Chin, who is, I believe, an Ottawa CFL fan, says, I am totally shocked in disbelief. I've been watching him since his BC days. He had an amazing story growing up in adversity where I can identify. Put him down as a guy voting that, yes, it has tainted his legacy. That's what he's saying. I'm saying, no, it hasn't tainted his legacy. That is our poll question today. For Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center on both Twitter and our web poll, it's literally come out like 50-50. Does this taint Andrew Harris's legacy? Again, I say no, but I'm not overly shocked by anything anymore, nor are the two guys who were in here earlier, both Jason Claremont and Mike Abou-Meshrick. And I believe, Clark, you're going to want to go back to the 10:26 mark when Abu came on for the first time and said, oh, it's 2019, guys are getting caught now.
Yeah.
With the technology being what it is. And I was actually shocked that it would be Abu would be that straight up with it, saying they're getting caught. So he doesn't buy what Andrew Harris is saying. I'm not saying I buy it either. Pro football players take steroids. Breaking news.
Not.
Been in the league 20 years. What? We're surprised? But I still don't think it taints it. I mean, some guys get away with it, some guys don't. That's my take.
Yeah, and if the evidence or the facts that Andrew Harris has laid out, as he lays them out, doesn't automatically make them fact, but he was tested three times, and twice he wasn't nothing came up, and the third time trace elements of it did, apparently. So if that's the case, then it clearly doesn't show that, okay, he's been doping for a long time, or that it's been used for performance enhancing purposes. Like he says, if he says that he didn't do it and he lays it out, I want to believe him. I tend to believe him. I have no reason not to believe him at this point. He seems like he's been an upstanding member of the CFL.
Sure.
Upstanding member of the community. There's nothing that Andrew Harris has done to make me think that he's a bad dude or I don't like that guy. And I wouldn't believe him. So I want to believe him. To me, it doesn't taint the legacy yet, but he did get tested positive. And if it's trace element or amounts of it, okay, that's cool. Move on and take your two games and do your thing. But from a league standpoint, if someone's using performance-enhancing drugs, two games, that's not a lot. It's pretty easy, pretty slop
that's
on the
rules.
Wrist,
that's
but,
the first,
but that's the rules.
First offense.
Well, no, we talked about the other thing we talked about early in the show was, you know, in the NFL, they kind of cover some of this stuff up. They do until it gets to a positive drug test and suspension. Taylor Lewan of my Titans is going to serve a 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. Same situation. He wanted that B sample looked at again. He appealed it, but it came out late. I think the CFL's done a pretty good job here, because if Andrew Harris has already tested positive, he's already appealed it, and the B sample tested positive as well, so now they're upholding the suspension, and now it's only coming out. I think that's a good job by the CFL, because it could have come out a long time ago before the first appeal.
Well, and people are writing in. It does seem a little confusing, Derek is saying, but his test 10 days before that was clean. So did he just buy a new product in that 10 days? It's a legitimate question, is it not?
Well, it is, and that goes to me with the trace elements of it. The little bit in the test, enough to create a positive test, that depending on what he's eating or how much he's drinking or what else he's putting in his body or how much he's working out and sweating and things like that, I think our hormone levels and our chemical balance goes up and down and fluctuates, I would assume. I'm not a doctor. And so if it's just a small amount, most days maybe it's not in there at all because he's not taking it, or it gets in and just happens on this test that it showed enough to flag a positive test.
The more I think about it, if you're Andrew Harris, and in his statement he said he gets tested so much it's a joke in the locker room, then you're not going to be taking banned substances.
Of course not.
Because you know that next test is coming.
Can you
so imagine? Something here doesn't add up, yet the CFL doesn't want to suspend one of their marquee players.
No.
And their leading rusher. So this is about integrity on the league's behalf. Clark has written in here. He says, people are asking about appeals. People have commented already that he's already appealed. The second sample also came back positive. Therefore, he's done. It's over. He's suspended. That's from Clark. So none of us are experts in this, but the CFL is. They use a highly sophisticated method of testing players. So we just kind of got to go with it. But the only thing is, so if he's going to miss these two games, what about the second half of the season? They're going to keep testing him?
Well, I think
we
you have to.
Just kind of got to go with it. So bad news for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here this morning. Other topics that I had written down, because this Andrew Harris stuff just hijacked our discussion this morning. Saskatoon, we get a lot of viewers in Saskatoon, as you know, and listeners. Somebody was writing in here about the buzz on the street today about the Rattlers. They won the Canadian Elite Basketball League Championship yesterday. Here it is from Sean Dahl. He says, with the Rattlers winning it all yesterday, I'm hearing a huge buzz around the city. Would be great if this results in a crowd increase next season. Go Rattlers. Well, if you know anything about sports marketing and selling tickets, they're going to have to start right back at zero next year. This was the first year of the league.
Yep.
Your people are just going to forget by next spring the league starts again. That's all that it's going to be. But if anybody knows sports marketing, it's Lee Genier and his staff. They'll be fine. But what was the crowd yesterday? What was the
I don't know what
attendance?
I honestly don't know the announced attendance, but I mean, it was double what they had during the year. It was
7,000-8,000.
Yeah, I hope so. It was awesome. The crowd was great. It was loud. The atmosphere was like unbelievable. You would have thought the place was full. That's how cool it was in the last 30 seconds. It's fun. And the basketball is great. And the guys are good. Like Shaq Keith, the guy we saw.
He's my favorite. Number 13.
Oh, yeah. He's flexing as he makes the basket, as he's coming down the sideline there. He's high-fiving people in the courtside seats. They love it. Negus Webster-Chan was really good in the final. He pulled back for a shot, did the little dust-off because he had so much time, and then you got to make the shot when you do that. He did. The basketball is phenomenal. You've got guys who have played in some of the developmental leagues at the NBA, pro leagues overseas. They want to come here. And it's funny, I was chatting with Devin Haru. I actually brought him on our CBC broadcast during halftime. And the one thing he noticed in one of our conversations was that when you watch the players, he's like, I can tell when I watch the players and their faces. And you can tell this when you watch sports too, if this means something to them or not. And it meant something. They're invested in this league. It clearly meant something for them to be there and to win. It wasn't an all-star. It wasn't a charity thing. It wasn't an exhibition. It felt real.
Well, and that's why it's funny, because I'm in Moncton for the weekend. I'm emceeing the golf tournament on Friday, and there's a prize package there from the Moncton Magic. And I said, who's the Moncton Magic? I know who the Wildcats are. That's the major junior hockey team. They said, oh, it's a pro basketball team out here. I think it's the NEBL or something, or North American Basketball League. And there's 12 teams and this and this. And I'm thinking, well, it would be nice if they could merge or something, because Mike Morreale's dream is that this is the CFL of basketball. So maybe it one day will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're talking about basketball out there in the Maritimes, and I'll just wrap this up because we're going off the air here to cap hour two of episode 60. But I did have a blast. Our business manager over there, Tyler, is from Halifax. I'd been out in the area. It's been about 20 years. It hasn't changed a ton. Where our daughter just moved to, it's somewhat remote. So I said Rexton. Do you know where that is? You said it's the north end of New Brunswick. Cell service is kind of spotty out there.
All right.
Right. But the people are fantastic. But I told you, sat in this chair on Friday. I did the video thing with you. And there was a poll from the radio station, a poll saying, should the Maritimes have a CFL team? 57% said yes. That is not a whopping, resounding amount. And this is what I wanted to talk a lot more about today. But the Andrew Harris thing hijacked it. They thought the Argos and Alouettes coming to Moncton was a huge deal. The reporters said to Randy Ambrosi, we don't very often get two pro teams out here. In Saskatchewan, you hear it a lot. It's all we have. The Riders are all we have. And it's true. Out there, they don't have anything.
Right.
So it's a big deal to them. But the CFL doesn't have a brand in the region. Even for the Alouettes and Argos to come, they're not the local team.
No.
So it was a novelty, and the fans there had a great time, but it's not their team.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to do a lot of work out there with regards to getting the CFL imprinted in the conscience and in the brains of the people that live there, because they're just not CFL people. Why would they be?
Yeah.
Football's really big. They've got tremendous amateur football, but that community is really small.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there in the crowd at Moncton Stadium, which, by the way, do you know they don't even have a team? They have a beautiful stadium. It reminded me of Huskies, Griffith Stadium, but newer. Yep. And I said, I'm walking around, who plays here? Nobody. What are we talking about?
Wild.
University of Moncton doesn't have a football team? No. So I'm thinking, why couldn't they throw up the 10,000 temp stands, make it 21,000 seat facility, and have a CFL team here?
Yeah.
And they say that the region's not populated enough. New Brunswick alone only has 750,000 people. It needs to be in Halifax. So it's driving people crazy is the way that I'll go off the air. I'm talking about CFL people and the Schooners guys that they just want a team so bad, but it's just not coming as quick as they'd like. And I was sitting between the mayor and the premier at the supper I was hosting on the Friday night, the night I almost got my ass handed to me by those guys when I was doing the auction. And they said, it's really hard to get stuff pushed through here. These are from the politicians.
Wow.
And I said, because you don't have any money? And they said, no, it's just mindset. There's money here. It's just that farming mindset that I have. You want to sit on your wallet and don't spend the money till the grain's in the bin, to quote Derek Myers. They're the same mindset.
Yeah. So you can sympathize.
I totally understand it.
Yeah.
But people need to be convinced that the CFL and the Maritimes is the best thing for the Maritimes.
And
right now, I don't think that that message is being pounded home into people's heads.
You got to lower the risk for the people in their minds. And
yeah.
Everybody talks about it. It came up a couple of times over the weekend. Well, you got to put the riders out there. If you put the riders in Touchdown Atlantic, the Prairie people will travel because they don't get to see the East Coast and Atlantic Canada. It'd be a great summer destination. It would be awesome. That's cool. It would be really great to put two of the marquee franchises out there, but those teams, when the riders are on the road, they don't want to give up their gate that is the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Yeah. Those are big money games.
This is a conundrum for the CFL right now, and yeah. I saw it firsthand, and I don't know what the answer is. Clearly, I'm not that guy. It's not my responsibility, and the really smart guys haven't quite figured out how they're going to do it yet either. Craig in Regina writing in on the Facebook while he was just out in Halifax for vacation. He says, I agree, it's not theirs, and in terms of teams and the CFL, especially in Halifax, it's more of an out of sight, out of mind. It needs to get there. And right now, there's no imprint. I didn't see any of it in the Maritimes for the CFL. No posters. I was talking to the game officials about that. There was just no, wasn't really advertised real well in the market. And whose responsibility is for that, I won't get into. Tomorrow on the show, Marshall Hamilton in Hour 1, Troy Westwood, Darren Bombing from TSN Winnipeg on this Labor Day week. Wes Cates, sounds like he'll be in the bunker. Is that what I'm hearing? And Chris McKenzie, old C-Mac coming in, and Arash Madani. We should tell our listeners and viewers, Darren, about Saturday night, Libel Field. We got to tell people what's going on here.
Yes, rodpetersonshop.com if you want to grab tickets to support Regina Minor football and women's tackle football, the Regina Riot here locally in Regina. It's going to be fun. Guys like Jason Claremont, Chris McKenzie, I believe, is going to play too, and Mike Abometric and others, Neil Hughes. It's going to be so much fun. So it is a celebrity all-star touch football game at Libel Field Saturday night. Gates open at 5:30, and then the game will start. Full of great Rider alumni and full of local celebrities like the cast on this show will be out there trying to play football, but it'll be lots of fun. We're going to raise a bunch of money for local football to grow the game.
Regina Minor football and Regina Riot.
Yeah.
Wes Cates, Neil Hughes, Noah Pickton, as you said,
Noah
Mike
Pickton.
McCullough, Jason Claremont, Derek Myers, Kelly Rempel, yourself. Jim Hobson's going to be along as a coach. That's this Saturday night, Libel Field here in Regina, all part of Labor Day weekend festivities. That got it?
That's got it.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Glad to be back, and we'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.